70 ruling members from the Exodus. Anyway, Nicodemus' very name means victorious among the people. He had climbed up every ladder of religious success, yet something inside of him still searched for more. So he slips into the darkness to meet Jesus, perhaps to protect his reputation, perhaps because the darkness around him mirrors the darkness within him. John loves this type of symbolism, light and darkness. Light for understanding, darkness for confusion. Nicodemus knows something about Jesus, but not nearly enough. He begins respectfully, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God." It's a compliment for sure, but far short of the truth. Jesus immediately pushes deeper. Amen and amen. Whenever Jesus says amen, amen, or in our translation, "very truly I say to you," he's about to drop a truth bomb. And in this passage, he does it three times. Amen and amen. I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Have you heard that before? Born again? This statement must have been quite a shock for Nicodemus, the scholar, the intellectual. This man was used to having all the answers. Suddenly, he has none. He pauses, scratches his head. How can someone be born when they are old? It's baffling. Jesus presses further. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. You must be born again. And the Greek word here is dei, D-E-I, and it indicates obligation or a sense of necessity. It's not a suggestion. It's absolutely necessary. You must be born again. Jesus isn't talking about crawling back into the womb. He's talking about a spiritual rebirth. A new beginning. A new life. A life that only the Spirit of God could generate. For Nicodemus, this would mean a complete reversal. From leader to follower. From teacher to student. From self-assured seeker to spirit-born believer. And Jesus' words from a nighttime conversation echo right through the centuries and straight into our lives. You must be born again. When we hear Jesus say, "you must be born again," many of us picture Billy Graham calling seekers to faith, or maybe we remember Chuck Colson's dramatic conversion after Watergate. Just a quick aside there, Chuck Colson was important to Rose and me because he was the founder of Prison Fellowship, in which many more Christians came into prison to make an impact on those who were incarcerated. Anyway, we think of stadium crusades, prison testimonies, and John 3:16 signs like this held up at the football game. And yes, John 3:16 remains one of the clearest summaries of the gospel, God's saving love. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's not only powerful, but meaningful. He sent his Son not to crush the earth with his condemnation, but to deliver salvation unto us. It's the very heartbeat of the good news of the gospel. But here's the misunderstanding. Here's the misconception. We often assume that this passage is only for unbelievers, a message for them, but not for us. Yet the first person Jesus spoke these words to wasn't a new convert at all. No, Nicodemus was a deeply religious person, a leader, a teacher, someone who knew the Bible inside and out. In fact, he probably had a lot of it memorized. And if he needed a rebirth, then the gospel is clearly for the already religious too. Nicodemus begins with a partial understanding. Jesus is a teacher, a rabbi, a miracle worker. And that's good, but not great. There's so much more to Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior, isn't he? But slowly, over the course of the Gospel of John, we watch Nicodemus move from curiosity to courage. He defends Jesus before the Sanhedrin, and he brings 75 pounds of spices to honor Jesus' body after the crucifixion. The man who once hid in the shadows eventually steps out into the light. And if there's hope for Nicodemus, then there's hope for every single one of us. The gospel is not a one-time doorway that we walk through. It's the very air that we breathe. It calls us beyond religious habit into spiritual transformation, beyond knowing about Jesus to actually knowing him. Beyond head knowledge to heart-level trust. As they say, the longest journey is the 18 inches from the mind to the heart. And this is where many of us still stumble. We attend church, but Jesus invites us to worship. We talk with other people, but he calls us into true Christian community. We say our prayers, but he invites us into honest conversation with God. We might read the Bible, but he calls us to listen for his voice. This is the Lenten journey, moving from the outward mechanics of religion to the inward renewal of the Holy Spirit. 40 days with Jesus will prepare us for a lifetime with him. Part 3. Life with Jesus is only possible through the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus pushes Nicodemus to imagine a different kind of birth, a birth that can only come from above. It's only possible through God's power. To help Nicodemus understand, Jesus uses a simple image, the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can hear it, you can feel it, and you can see the effects. The Spirit works in the same way, unseen yet unmistakable in the lives of those he transforms. Nicodemus hears Jesus, but he still can't grasp the concepts. He asks Jesus, "How can this be?" His categories can't contain what Jesus is offering. So Jesus responds with a gentle rebuke. "You are Israel's teacher, and yet you do not understand these things?" Nicodemus had the knowledge, but not yet Spirit-given wisdom. And that's the question for all of us. Do we understand? Do we know that the gospel is not something we achieve, but a gift that we receive? That spiritual life is not powered by human effort, but by the very breath of the Spirit? That's where the artwork on the screen depicts a powerful spiritual reality. There's three doves rising ever upward, and I think of that bottom dove as being in the egg, kind of the womb of the Spirit, where it's right now it's growing, but it hasn't flying yet, and then it flies out and up. And so three doves there. It's an image of the Spirit lifting us into new life. The title of this artwork is called "Look Up for Faith, Hope, and Love." Those three things, faith, hope, and love. And it captures the heart of Jesus' invitation. We're not only born again by the Spirit, but we're also born from above by the Holy Spirit. So we look up. The artist said that her work is meant to help people dig deeper spiritually and discover joy, strength, and guidance beyond human understanding. And that's exactly what Jesus offers to Nicodemus and to us. True transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives birth to faith. He sustains our hope, and he grows us in God's love. That's my prayer for you at Lakeview Community Church, that we would grow. Yes, in numbers, I'd love for all these pews to be full, but even more, in spirit-filled life. When I pray for this congregation, I pray that we will grow in faith, hope, and love, that our faith would deepen, our hope would strengthen, and our love would simply overflow. That we would not only be spirit-born, but spirit-led, spirit-shaped, and spirit-renewed. Because God's grace is astonishing. His love for the world is so great that he gave his one and only Son, not to condemn, but to save. And everyone who believes in him receives the gift of life everlasting. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's children say, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for meeting us today through your Holy Word and your Holy Spirit. Breathe new life into us, life that is born from above, shaped by grace and strengthened in faith. Open our hearts to trust Jesus more deeply, to follow him more faithfully, and to walk in the power of your Spirit. Grow us in the gifts of faith, hope, and love. Empower us to shine your light for a world in darkness, in desperate need of renewal. And as we persevere in our Lenten journey, bring us daily closer to Christ and guide us in the way that leads to life. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen.